open there, whether that's a paper form like this one or on your phone. Open it up. We're going to read and remind ourselves again of this wonderful story. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to be reading from verses 1 to 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they didn't believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened.
Well, greetings to you once again this Easter morning. Thank you for taking time to join with us as we celebrate the heart of our faith, the very central message of Christianity. See, without the cross and the empty tomb, there is no faith. Christ's death and resurrection are integral to Christianity. But often it seems like the cross takes center stage. In Corinth, Paul preached crucified, his sacrifice, that reconciliation act between God and us. This is ultimately the symbol of Christianity. A friend of mine recently posted on Facebook a reminder that the word crucified was not a word that you would say in polite society. It carried with it a sense of shame and horror. You wouldn't mention it in polite society, but here we are, we build our story on a crucifixion. But that is only half the story. Our takeaway from this weekend should be the resurrection as well as the cross. It's what we celebrate. It's the reason why we should take time and rejoice and be happy. Paul preaches. He tells us in Corinthians that Christ's resurrection is needed. These are the words of Paul. If it is preached that Christ has risen from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then and not even Christ has been raised, and if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Paul reminds us that if Christ had not risen, then these people and us are guilty of being false witnesses. For we have testified to others that he has risen, that he is right, that Christ has returned from the dead. If it's not true, then we are guilty of taking people away from God. But like that old Pantene ad said, but wait, there's more. No, it wasn't Pantene. That was the guy that sells you things, right? What was his name? Big Kev. But wait, there's more. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, Those who were dead to God are not raised and restored. Or as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only this life we have hope in Christ. And if that's the case, we of all people most to be pitied. Paul illustrates for us why it is essential that Jesus rose from the dead. And he does it by pointing out to us what it means if the resurrection had never occurred. If Jesus hadn't conquered death, then this is what would be true. And it starts with this. Jesus is not who he says he is. Throughout the gospel, Jesus preaches that he is the bread of life, the light of the world. The Father and I are one. I am the way, the truth, and the light. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. In saying this, Jesus is saying that he is the source of resurrection and life. The theologian John Piper said, all of God's sovereignty is mediated through Christ. It hinges on his power over the death in the resurrection. Without Christ, there is no resurrection. There is no conquering death. This is it, folks. Everything for us hangs on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's only by his triumph that we have a hope, any hope of having eternal life, of being with God. Even the prophets of the Old Testament gave many prophecies about the Messiah. They gave predictions, passages like, wow, I am really off with my slides. I apologize. Passages like Psalm 16, 9 to 11. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. Or in Psalm 118, 17 and 18, I will not die but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Or Job 19, oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed in an iron tool on lead or engraved in a rock forever. I know my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. After my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I will myself will see him. With my own eyes, I and not another, my heart yearns within me. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus reinforces these prophecies. He didn't shy away from them. Matthew 20, 18 to 19, we're going to go to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death. They will handcuff him, hand him over to the Gentiles, be mocked, flogged, and crucified, and on the third day he will rise again. The resurrection is meant to be the exclamation mark of Christ's ministry. Without the resurrection, as many have pointed out, we have problems. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, that means his claims were false. And if his claims were false, then Jesus would be a liar. Or maybe Jesus didn't know his claims were false. And if that was the case, then Jesus would be a lunatic. But if his claims were true, then he is the Son of God. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, then it means that all the apostles and us are false witnesses. As you read more through the Gospels, you see that Jesus made many post-resurrection appearances. He came to the disciples, the 11, multiple times. He even appeared to more than 500 people at one time. 500 people. Hey, you know that old saying? There's only one way for a secret to be kept between two people, and that's if one of them's dead. Imagine trying to keep a secret with 500 people. Imagine keeping a lie with 500 people. It's critical to note that most of the people he supposedly appeared to were still alive when this was written down. As his story was circulating, as people were putting pen to paper, that meant that people themselves could go for a walk and find those who were there and ask the question, "Were you there? Did you see Jesus?" They were available to deny or corroborate this resurrection tale. If Jesus didn't come back from the dead, that means the apostles were all liars. And they were part of the most elaborate conspiracy in history. For every single one of them had to be in on the hoax. Not only that, they had to stick to the story, even under threat of death. Even when denying it could save them from execution. History tells us all but one of the disciples was put to death for saying this story was true, that Jesus was resurrected. It's a pretty bold conspiracy if you're willing to follow it to death. It gets worse for us, though. If Jesus didn't come back from the dead, then we're still in our sins. Paul saw a direct connection between the resurrection of Jesus and the sufficiency of his death to atone for our sins. If we're still in our sins, it means we are under condemnation, that we are still separated from God and we are still guilty. But when Jesus rose on the third day, it was a public announcement to all that God was satisfied with this death. The writer of Hebrews confirms that God was pleased with this offering. But we do see Jesus, who was made lower than the angels for a little while, now crowned with glory and honor, because he suffered death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. In fact, Paul goes into an even more depressing picture. He says that those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost forever. Imagine spending your life serving Christ to discover that death is still the end. Our faith is that the death doesn't have the final word. The resurrection does. Christ conquered death, and in Christ we do too. But Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead also comes through a man. For as in Adam all dies, so in Christ all will be made alive. Paul's last words here are compelling. If only for this life, we have hope in Christ. And if that's all we have, then we should be pitied. If life ends at the grave, the things Jesus asks from us don't make a lot of sense. Why would we love our enemies? Why should we become living sacrifices? If death is the end, life has no ultimate significance. We can't trust that our existence offers any real meaning, mercy, or justice. But our hope and our faith rests on Christ. And Christ being raised, this life is only the beginning. The resurrection becomes a vow that promises us eternal life, eternal existence in the presence of a God who loved us from the beginning. An empty tomb means that Christ shouldn't be pitied, they should be envied. That means that Christians shouldn't be pitied, they should be envied, that they have a hope. Christ's tomb was empty. Some might say that maybe it was the Romans. The Romans took the body of Jesus and hid it elsewhere. Well, if that was the case, then at any stage early on, they could have produced the body and shown that the disciples' claims were false. Maybe it was the religious Jewish leaders who took the body and hid it. Well, if that was the case, they would have brought it forward very early and squashed this movement that was changing the face of humanity, the face of their faith. The tomb is empty. And it wasn't that Jesus simply passed out and was resurrected later, revived later, like, you know, fainting. The Gospels talk about a spear piercing his side and blood and water pouring out. That's a sign of death. The Romans who hung him on the cross, they were known for making sure that the person was fully dead. After all, could you imagine? You're meant to crucify a guy and he wakes up in a couple of hours because you didn't do your job properly? Those Romans wouldn't have lasted very long. So on Friday, we feel that pain. We know that Jesus died for us. We know that there was sadness and pain that he bore on that cross. We know that it wasn't a pleasant death. But today we rejoice, for he is alive. For we, although living, were dead, but through Christ, through his resurrection, we are made alive. That's why we proclaim he has risen. And that's why we respond with,
he has
risen. We were dead, but in Christ we are made alive. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for today, the answer to the pain on Friday, the rejoicing of our King risen, the one who conquered death and provided a way, the one who paid the price that we could not. So, Father, as we go today, may we go with joy in our hearts. May our souls know the hope of our faith. May we know that Christ is risen. Amen. Thanks, Drew.
Well, as we seek to allow that the truth of today to sink deep into our hearts and our lives, once again, we're going to close this morning with a song. We're going to be using a worship song lyric video, which we have from time to time used here at Brookside. It is different It is different to having a live band up the front. But, you know, the truth of the words that we sing from our hearts don't change. And the wonderful and almighty God we proclaim these words to, he doesn't change either. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to be led in a song, Christ is Risen.